The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Barry Kenny is with me, Corporate Communications Manager with Irish Rail. Barry, talk us through, we heard a mention of it in the news headlines, this new commuter zone plan for people in and around Dublin.
Before I get to that, it would be remiss me not to say there are 8 free water filling stations at train stations on the inner air network.
I thought you were going to say something about Star Wars.
Never. Connolly, Pearse, Euston, Dundalk, Athlone, Galway, Tralee and Killarney. But anyway, sorry, not to digress. So from Monday, this is the next and indeed for rail final phase of the NTA's latest fares determination. And it's more than just a change in fares. It is a change in structure. We are moving from the old short hop zone to a bigger Dublin commuter zone area that consistently goes about 50 kilometres around the Dublin area. Now, what that means for customers is if you are now extended and new into the Dublin commuter zone, the LEAP card, so that effectively that kind of cash facility, if you like, of the LEAP card now applies to you. It wouldn't have, for example, for the likes of Drogheda and Kildare heretofore, it would have been either ticket machines or online to buy, but now it's LEAP card with the e-purse. And for most of the people that are that this affects, it's going to bring people's fares down. There are a couple of areas where it goes up, some that were in the short hop zone before, in zone 2 in the new structure. But if you're in Dublin city zone in the centre, basically no change. Zone 2, some increases. Zone 3 and 4, some decreases, and some pretty big decreases in some cases.
So I think zone 2, places like Salins, I think, were mentioned.
Yeah, Salins, Skerries, Balbriggan, and Greystones.
So that was just about within this short hop zone.
Yes,
but on the new map, it's in zone 2, yes. Which means it finds itself...
Yeah,
and I suppose
the logic of the new structure, and I think something the NTA have been working with the public transport operators in recent years to do, is to have a more logical distance-based fare structure that was consistent across all lines. There were some legacy issues where you would have two stations that would be, you know, pretty similar distance from Dublin and have two different fares, and it is to address that. So obviously in trying to equalise all that out, you do have some increasing, but some reducing.
And how big an increase for people in...
If you take something like Skerries or Greystones to the city centre, that's from €3 to €3.90 on the LEAP fare. But then if you take Drogheda to Dublin's single fare, that's down from €10.85 to €6. Kildare's is down from €11.95.
So the real winners in this are zones 3 and 4, who were just... bog standard train into town, and they're now in this commuter zone.
Precisely. And I suppose, look, that's the, you know, the old short hop zone was when it was established based on the kind of typical commuting distances of the time. And that has changed, obviously, dramatically in the interim. And this, you know, addresses something. And we've been working, obviously, people have seen the poles go into the stations in recent times. And now obviously all the software is in place so we can activate it from Monday.
So this is the next phase of this kind of reimagination of commuting in the country. What's the next phase? What's the next thing that's been worked
on? Well, a couple of other things before we get to that, that people should know, because the area is bigger, the maximum touch-on fare is higher. It's going from an adult from €4 to €7.50. So if your fare was in about the €4, you got into the habit of not touching off, from Monday, make sure you touch off, because €7.50 will be deducted at the outset.
Yes, it will assume that you're going to the end of the line.
Precisely.
And that didn't matter so much if you were close to it.
And similarly for students, young adults and kids as well, that all increases, so that's important.
Okay.
And then the Lewis add-on, this is more for the intercity area, the Lewis add-on, if you were booking a Houston service from Kilkenny to Houston and wanted to get the Lewis up to Connolly, it added €1.40 to your fare. That's now zero. So that's gone.
All right.
You still pick Connolly as your destination, but it is zero. There'll be no added fare for that.
Okay.
Back to your question.
So the next phase in all of this.
The next, well, I know Bus Éireann colleagues are following with some changes at the end of May, early June. The next stage in terms of, I suppose, ticketing more so than fares is the next gen ticketing project, which again, the NTA are leading and all the public transport operators will be working with them on, and that's where your debit card, your credit card, it's not a LEAP card, you store the value there, and that programme is underway. It's about a 3-year programme overall. So,
and that's going to be integrated across all those different systems.
That's it, exactly. And that's the technology. There is a lot of technology behind all of this, and anywhere it's been introduced, that is the case. But that's, I suppose, from a technological point of view, the next big step. And it will actually give a lot more flexibility in terms of ticketing products as well at that time. the systems we work with right now, you know, they are a little bit more cumbersome. But this gives flexibility. When there are changes, you can implement them far quicker. So a lot of benefits arising from
and
that.
And why would it take 3 years? You know, it's a system that exists in other countries. People would be familiar tapping on with their card or with their phone in London, for example. Is it because you're integrating it across different public transport systems, or like what's the thing that causes
it is,
the delay?
It is all of the different technologies integrating together in systems, and as I say, and scoping it out. You know, we've got to work with the NTA and with their contractors and the consultants on this to develop what the options are we need, so we have the system that we need then for the future. It isn't simply a case of right, let's take system X from somewhere else, if that's not actually going to, you know, feed what our future requirements are as well. So as I say, that's the difference. That, as I say, what's happening on Monday is fares, fare structures. That's the next stage in technology.
And what are your projections over the next period of time, be that kind of 5-10 years, medium term, in terms of passenger numbers and how you expect them to grow and how you're going to cater for them?
Sure. We've just, I suppose, 2024, highest ever. And when we were in COVID, did we ever think we'd so quickly be back to the highest level? So we're just short of 51 million. We would expect about 55 million this year. By 2030, if, you know, we get a lot of our new trains in, we could be getting towards 80 million at that stage in terms of service expansion and delivery. So a lot of growth. Obviously, we've got the DART Plus programme, which while it has physical infrastructure works in the Dublin area, it actually builds the capacity for the whole network in terms of lines in. We've also got a lot of work in Cork and indeed a lot of the cities, but Cork in particular. We will have the three projects delivered by the end of next year that will allow us to go from every 30-minute frequency on the three commuter lines to an every 10-minute frequency. Now, it gives you the capacity. We'll build that up as we buy trains, things like that. But getting that infrastructure in ahead of time. So what we'll be focusing on is the capacity that DART Plus will give us with, you know, signalling, removing level crossings, things like that. Beyond that, you're talking about where we have single track. You know,
I was going to ask, what's the biggest bottom challenge for you in terms of expanding the physical infrastructure?
Yeah, it really is. Once we get the signalling, I suppose, aspects of DART Plus, beyond that, then you're talking about where we have single track and you need double track. Places like Maynooth to Mullingar, Port Arlington to Athlone, as far as Carlow, as an example. Four tracking is something we're going to complete in as far as Houston as part of the DART Plus programme, but going the other way out to Kildare. You've also got places like Limerick to Limerick Junction as options, Athenry to Galway. So if you like, building the capacity around those city areas will give us that step change we need to get much higher frequencies. We want to have hourly services on all our intercity routes. We want to, you know, improve speeds. And obviously when you get single track and you got to wait at passing loops, as we call them, small sections of second track, that mitigates against improving journey time. So the All Ireland Strategic Rail Review, which was published last summer, that really shows you the roadmap. You know, this decade, a lot about kind of, you know, delivering what's in the National Development Plan. Then beyond that, it is double tracking, quadruple tracking, and ultimately opening new lines as well.
And when it comes to the double tracking, you run into kind of having to deal with compulsory purchase orders and everything there, I take it.
A lot depends, I suppose. A lot depends on what our Victorian forebears did in the 19th century.
And how much land they have either side of the track.
Whether they built double track originally or not. I mean, it wouldn't be a case that we would have given up such alignments. We'd still retain them. But you will be looking at things like bridges, obviously. If a bridge is over the railway line just for single track, that complicates it.
And can you roll that out in sections? I mean, you know, where you would have sections of double track. So you would have maybe two trains careening towards each other on one track, but you don't necessarily need double track for the entire distance, just for a section so that they can pass each other.
And we have a lot of that. And we're doing work right now at Oran Mór to add in another section. There'll be a second platform and a second line through that. But, you know, that gets you benefit. It absolutely does, without the full cost and extent of double tracking. But if we really want to ramp up and we look at the planning in terms of housing, and you know that we're not there just for the hell of running trains, it's to facilitate the type of economic and social development we want to see, that you want to build housing in density along railway lines, and to build a service that can deliver that, we want to build the capacity of the rail network to cater for that.
And how much, and I know this is maybe a government policy question, but how much cooperation is there in terms of planning, say when it comes to the Housing for All or national development plans to locate housing along those tracks? Kind of famously, that's how a lot of London developed, was because it was alongside those tracks.
Yeah, and I suppose a lot of, you know, we talk about kind of the, some of the development in kind of, you know, the 70s and 80s, whatever. It didn't happen anywhere near railways.
No.
You know, and that was, I suppose, the very human cost of it in some instances. There's a lot of that going on, both, I suppose, working within our own sites as well. If you look at Cork, at Horgan's Quay, if you look at plans at Limerick, at plans at Houston as well. But, you know, I used to live in Maynooth, for example, and when I was commuting in, you'd get to Ashtown and there'd be cattle grazing beside the railway line. This is like the late 1990s. Now it's all, you know, there's high density housing. So that is happening, and very much the reason I think Cork is pushing ahead so strongly in terms of the capacity of the rail network is because the local authorities are absolutely committed to delivering the housing and the industry along the rail lines.
There's Chagas or Sid out there near Ashtown, I think, are they? There might still be some cattle not too far from the railway line. Not necessarily right.
And nothing wrong with cattle, but just, you know, not 4 miles from the city centre where we have a housing crisis. You know?
So there's people texting in, when can I get a train from Navan to Dublin? We're crying out for a train here. We're in our cars every day. It's mad.
Well, the Navan project has started in terms of, we got the consultants appointed. We're looking at the route selection. We would hope to be going out to public consultation later this year. I think you are talking about the early 2030s realistically on that. There's a bit of time to go in terms of the design development and then getting to building as well.
Are the drinks trolleys back on all the trains?
The catering trolleys, there's no actual alcohol on board at the moment.
I mean hot drinks, but you just revealed something about yourself there now, Barry.
I think it was a look in your face, Barry, when you said drinks trolley. But anyway,
we do.
This issue is being revealed on the Cork and on the Belfast line, not on the rest of the network at this point in time. We have costs back. We're not currently funded for it. It is something we're still working to deliver.
Okay, you don't have the money.
Exactly at this moment. All so right. we're engaging in that, but I'd love to give you a definitive date. I don't have it.
How big an issue is antisocial behaviour on the network? We talked about this in context of bus journeys earlier in the week, because Dublin Bus have come out and asked for the government to put a timetable on this idea of a transport police.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, it's a societal issue. Do we have our share of it? Of course we do. We've increased our own security resources quite significantly over the last few years to, I suppose, one, just have that increased presence and a deterrent, but also I think it helps us to react and respond. We also have a lot more, I suppose, kind of proactive work with the Gardaí in particular. I mean, we would have on the lines into Houston, for example, you know, 100 plus joint patrols at Gardaí each year physically on the trains in the stations, and we have rapid response hubs with Gardaí to enable our staff to directly link in to local guard stations. So it's, you know, as I say, no one is immune from antisocial behaviour, unfortunately, but we have been ramping up the resources. Yeah. We want to do it further, and working not just ourselves, but, you know, take somewhere like Connolly or Houston. We've got Lewis, we've got Bosaris for Bus Éireann just across the road. So Dublin Bus Services right outside. So we have multiple operators, and we work together with the Gardaí in Store Street there. We all work with the Gardaí in Kilmainham there. So a lot of local and national level, I suppose, cooperation to deliver that. And of course, working at the NTA now ahead of this transport security.
What probably works in your favour compared to Dublin Bus is there's not as many stops. People are on the train for longer. In terms of apprehending people,
yeah, well, look, this suppose is a balance, because obviously you've got a driver that you pass as you get onto a bus. You don't have it up. So there's different issues that the different operators face. But certainly, you know, we have a centralised for the Greater Dublin Area security control facility now, where we're, you know, live monitoring stations at all times, and just putting the resources both in technology and in people in place so that we can make it as safe a travelling environment as possible.
Was there post-COVID change in terms of people's behaviour? That's what Dublin Bus and others have experienced.
Yeah, and it probably started happening during COVID, to be honest, particularly the times when a lot of people weren't travelling because that was the request at the time. And it probably kind of revealed and caused, you know, specific issues around, you know, we had a lot of loitering at that time in particular. There's seasonal aspects, you know, we'll come into summer now. We have programmes with the Gardaí around, you know, beach days and the concert events and all this type of thing.
People coming home from the beach with a few drinks in them.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, there are days, you know, when, you know, Borough Beach, for example, is just swamped. You know what I mean? And it's not just a rail or a bus operation situation there. It's a community response to it. So there's issues like that where you can proactively plan for specific events that we know are going to happen and put the resources in place. And then, as I say, that response that's required where there are incidents as well.
If you're planning on double railing, can you just put back the rails that were taken up on some of the lines like Dublin to Sligo? The place to put the rails are still there.
Well, as I say, that's what you touched once on you're there. Originally, and as a Maynooth to Mullingar would be the key one there in terms of double tracking.
Aidan has an important question though. Can I perform a citizen's arrest on trains for people who put their feet on the seats?
We would love to give you that authority. We can't just this point in time, but we do issue fines for that. We do, and as I say, we would ask people
Aidan,
to obey.
You
us.
Know what I say, Aidan? Don't listen to Barry. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. You carry out your citizen's arrest, and then let me know tomorrow on this show how it goes. Barry, thanks a million.
Thanks, Kieran.
I'll let you have to deal with that. Barry Kenny, Corporate Communications Manager with Irish Rail.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.